What happened on October 31 of 1517? And you've got the answers in front of you. You don't get to. October 31 in. Pardon? Halloween, pardon? Martin Luther, not quite king, Martin Luther. And it was the Protestant Reformation. So Martin Luther's actions that day are really one of the reasons why we are in the form and doing what we're doing this morning. See, on October 31, this guy, who wasn't the most fashion-conscious man alive, walked up the hill to Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, and nailed a piece of paper to the front door of the church. Real nail, real hammer, real piece of paper. It was the church front door. It was almost the declaration of war, right? You didn't do that unless you were ready to rumble. On the piece of paper was 95 revolutionary opinions about how the church had lost its way and what the church needed to do to get back on the way to the way God had intended the church to be. And from that moment, there was a split in the church, and we had as a result the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church. So before that, it was just the church, and then it became the Protestant Church and the Catholic Church. And then a little while later, the Catholic Church had its own reformation where it reordered its life in light of what God wanted. But one of Luther's essential desires of his heart was that the depth and the power and the transforming state of the scriptures had been lost to the people sitting in the pews. See, what had happened is the priests had the responsibility to convey the truth of the scriptures to the people. And whilst there were some priests that did a really good job of that, there was a majority that used the scriptures to say what they wanted to say in order that they were kept in a powerful position, well looked after and well financed. And Luther got to the end of his tether. He said, no, this needs to change. And so this bold statement of hammering his 95 thesis on the door of the church shifted everything in Christendom. Luther wanted to make sure that every believer was educated enough to be able to read the scriptures for themselves so that the scriptures and Jesus could speak to them without the interference of anybody else. It was Martin Luther who said, a simple layman armed with scripture is greater than the mightiest pope without it. Luther would be proud of this message that we're preaching today and in the coming weeks, the ground that we're going to cover, about how God speaks to us. He would be cheering us on. Yes, that's what the church needs more of, to hear the voice of God speak corporately and communally, but also to speak personally and powerfully to us. Now, God speaks in a variety of ways. God doesn't just speak through scripture, which is what we're looking at today, but sometimes through a gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit, sometimes through a dream or a memory or a picture or a word or an idea that drops into our spirit, sometimes from the advice from a friend or someone at church, sometimes through our culture, through creativity, through creation itself. God speaks to us. But today we're focusing on the Bible. How does God speak to us through the Bible? I often liken the voice of God to, and most of you will get it, my kids won't get this analogy, but a radio, right? Now it's all internet, and perhaps there's an illustration there we can use without getting too complicated. But I think the voice of God is like a radio frequency that is constantly speaking. God is constantly speaking to us, his beloved, his children, the church, all of creation. He is constantly speaking to them of his love and his grace and his encouragement and his challenge and his justice and all those things. And the problem is we haven't tuned in always to the right radio frequency. You know when you used to be in the car and you used to like twiddle the knob and it was really clear for a moment and then it was gone and you're like, oh, I've got to go back. And you went back and forward until you were bang on. Now you press a couple of buttons and it's way too easy, but that's how it was back then. Prayer and reading the scriptures is like that. It's, God, I'm just trying to pick up your frequency. What are you trying to say to me? Ah, there it is. I can hear in this space. And sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we forget. Oh, yeah, I need to get back to listening to God. Sometimes we don't know what to do or we find ourselves in an impasse, and other times we tuned into completely the wrong frequency. But the Bible is such a solid expression of this frequency. It's there. It's unchanging in a beautiful way that it changes us. And after all, God's word is called the word of God. Have you heard that phrase before? The word of God. The Bible is the word of God. It comes straight out of that understanding. It comes out of John 1. So the first, John's gospel, the first words that he writes in his gospel. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was God in the beginning. And then he jumps forward after some brilliant verses that you should absolutely spend your entire life just living in. It's so good. He says, the word became flesh, and that made his dwelling among us. So Jesus became Jesus. The words of God became the presence and the expression of Jesus in human form, and we have seen his glory. And the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the announcement of all that God wants to say. If you're wondering what God wants to say to me, look to Jesus. And Jesus is broadcast through the entire Bible. The Old Testament points to Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament says, look to Jesus who is coming. And everything in the New Testament declares Christ as king. Look, we have the king amongst us. Jesus is literally the words of God to all of creation, brought to us through the Bible. Jesus is the word of God. Luther said, remove Christ from the scriptures and there's nothing left. It's profound and I love it. The word of God is God's word to us. It's an intimate word. A word from someone who loves us, who cares for us, a word to us. And those words are transformative. They can transform our lives. In the passage we're going to look at today, it's where we see this scenario happen. The words and the scripture of God transform somebody's life. The disciple Philip finds himself in a bizarre situation where he's waiting by the side of the road and a chariot carrying royalty goes past him. And his intrigue is tweaked as he hears what the eunuch who is riding in the carriage, who happens to be 2IC to the queen of Ethiopia, and he's reading these scriptures from Isaiah and clearly frustrated. Clearly like, what on earth am I reading? And so Philip starts to run alongside and then speaks to the eunuch as they're clearly going slower than this, because Philip wasn't an elite athlete, right? So they're just meandering along, and Philip runs up to the chariot in Acts 8, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains this to me? Do you know? Sure, come on up. So he invites Philip up to sit with him. The passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading was from the Old Testament and was a prophecy about Jesus. So the eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So when the Bible talks about the scripture, what we need to realize is whenever the Bible talks about scripture, it's only talking about Old Testament. The reason is the New Testament hadn't been classified as scripture yet because it's telling the stories of the people that are reading the scripture, which is the Old Testament. Now, when they looked at the Old Testament, when they valued the Old Testament, there was a sense of them saying, what God has said then, God is now speaking into our reality. So when we talk about Holy Scripture, and when we look at the importance of reading the Holy Scripture, we can actually include the New Testament in that as well. Because God spoke to them in a way that God still speaks into our situation, using the full canon, the full collection of Scripture. So Philip helps the eunuch tune in to God's frequency. They start at this random location in Scripture and discover that they are being pointed toward Jesus. And we discover that the eunuch is desperate to tune in to God's wavelength. And as soon as he does, his world is turned upside down. You see, if you read the scriptures with a hunger to meet God, you will be led to Jesus. You will be. Which is what happens, isn't it? We read the Bible, and it might be something we've read 100 times before. You ever get that experience? Like, I've read this so many times. There's not really another reason for me to read it, but look, it's there. We read it, and God speaks to us. How does he do that? I know this off by heart, and still God speaks to me. He takes hold of our hearts. God eases our burdens. He inspires our actions. He challenges our behaviors. He corrects our character. He calms our anxieties. And through his word is constantly available to us. It's what the Ethiopian was hungry for, but he struggled to access it until he was helped. And that brings us to this. This is part of what we do in Village. It's called the Transformation Trek. And I kind of give it to you to use, like explore it, read it. It's a multifaceted tool. So it operates as a personal devotional. So you can just spend the next month just enjoying the different facets of this and using what you like. But it also works if you're going to meet up with someone like Philip and the eunuch and like, we want to talk about faith, but not sure how to enter into that. You can use this to do that. If you have a small group, or we call them the small tables, a small group of people that are believers that get around a table or a cup of coffee, use this. Just wander through it and see what God wants to say to you through it. It's even an opportunity to use it in a missional setting. If you have someone that's exploring spirituality, but you don't know what to say and they're keen, but they don't know what to ask, you can use this as a framework. And so I offer it to you just as a resource, and love your feedback. Let it bless you. Use it as you need. There's no rules around it. It's just a resource for you to use in ways that might be helpful. But so significant was what God said to the Ethiopian. As he's reading Isaiah, Philip's translating, so significant was that, he finds the next puddle that he can and says, can you baptize me in the puddle? Like, staggering, isn't it? What? That doesn't happen. But so eager was he. It doesn't happen when you read other books, does it? That sort of transformation. Other books are wonderful and incredible. But that sort of transformation doesn't happen when you read other books. Because those other books hold the thoughts of other authors, whereas the Bible holds Jesus himself, who meets us through these scriptures. Luther said, the authority of scripture is greater than the comprehension of the whole of man's reason. Yeah. It's impossible to live your life according to the will of God without reading God's word. It's just not possible. And you can't rely on somebody else to read it for you. You can't turn up to church this morning and go, I read the Bible because Ralph read some of the Bible and that made sense. Oh, I kind of like what he said. I hope you like what I say, but you know, honestly, it's between you and God. You can't rely on me to read the Bible for you. Now, I'd never tell Village this, but sometimes I might even get it wrong. There's not a foolproof thing that what I say about the scriptures is the entirety of what God wants to say about the scripture, because he wrote this love letter to each of us, that he would speak to us in our particular circumstances. So we can't allow the preacher or anybody else to read the Bible for us. It's this beautiful gift that we need to do for ourselves. A while ago, I was wrestling with a very complex situation. It was in my life. It was a very difficult situation. And it was one of those that I didn't know where to turn or what to do or how all of that worked out. And I was really at an impasse. And that particular day, I was reading from Ephesians 5. And as I read Ephesians 5, verse 11 jumped out to me. And verse 11 says this, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, that came on the heels of me asking God, God, I am so stuck in this situation. What on earth do I do? Can you speak to me about it? And then getting frustrated because I hadn't heard anything from God. So I started reading the scriptures, and God says this, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It was like I was in a fog, and everywhere I turned was a fog. But when I read this, it was like the fog was cut in two, and I could see a way forward. In an instant, it was clear what I needed to do and how I needed to behave and what I needed to put in place. And the anxiety that I was feeling about it fled. It just left me. It was a sense of like, I now have the confidence of God in this scenario rather than just how confident I was feeling about calculating what sort of reasonable, logical steps I might need to make. See, it's so important that as disciples, we need to be reasonable, we need to be logical, but we need to trust the Word of God more. More than that, We need to lean on that and say, I'm going to trust that what God has said to me, about this circumstance, is greater than what I can surmise, and I'm going to lean into that. God's word, it frees us from our own reasoning. Our own reasoning is important, but it enables us to go beyond that, to trust and obey what Jesus says to us through his words. The word of God, it gives us a confidence that supersedes our best attempts to sort an issue out. But we need to read it, right? We need to allow it to speak to us. And if we're not reading the Bible on a regular basis, we're depriving ourselves of speaking, of God speaking to us. What we're actually saying is, God, I know you speak all the time through your scriptures, but I'm okay. You would be offended if that were you, would you not? Like, are you kidding? I've given you this thing and you're still complaining that you don't know where to go, but you haven't got time to read it, or you haven't got the desire or the passion to read it? Church history tells us that the entire African church was birthed out of a small monarchy in a country called Ethiopia, about the same time that the church was getting spread all through Asia Minor. The Ethiopian eunuch returns transformed, baptized with the word of God, and returns to his queen and teaches his queen about Jesus. And she is gripped and transformed by that, and in turn initiates a revival that doesn't only affect Ethiopia, but the other 53 African countries. And to this day, Africa is one of the strongest Christian-held continents in the world. It's like God has turned on this tap of his transformative power through the word. And he says, it's always flowing every day, drink from the word. Because not only you need it, the world needs it. See, the importance of this message isn't just for you, but it's for your neighbors, your friends, your family, those strangers you meet, your colleagues at work who don't know Jesus. You need to read the Bible for them. They need to meet the word of God through you and in your life. So why do we so flippantly deny our souls of this thirst-quenching gift that reading the scriptures gives us? It's time things change for all of us. We need to just be a community and a people who just love dwelling in the word and sitting in the word and reading and encouraging one another in that space. In fact, Jesus himself, he's challenged by Satan early in his ministry, kind of before it got ramped up. He's challenged by Satan himself, and he speaks to Satan about what it means to survive in this world. And he says this in Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In Jesus' eyes, the word of God is more valuable than food, than their basic building block of everything, of bread. For us to truly live, it's only possible when we live from the scriptures. Paul, in the book of Hebrews, he says, for the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God uses his word to do surgery on our souls, and it's living and active, so God can keep up with the changes and the differences in our lives. Later on, Paul, as he's ministering and he's mentoring Timothy, he says, all of Scripture, Timothy, is God-breathed. It's breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And Paul is trying to convince Timothy and the church and us to accept that when we read Scripture, it's as if God is breathing his life into us. Again, it's the same context that's used in Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Humanity finds its being and purpose in life through the breath of God. And God shares his words with us. He breathes into us through the scriptures. And as he does, his breath touches our lives. It causes us to live again. It stirs something deep within us that needs stirring, so that we can be renewed in our abiding with God, so that we can hear the words of God, so we can share words with God, so we can commune with God. See, reading the Bible is that, it's communing with God. It's not just fulfilling a daily chore or knocking it off the list or making sure we do it or feeling bad because you came to church and the preacher said, read your Bible more. It's actually communing with God. It's spending time with God and allowing God to meet us. The Bible offers us insight into the heart of God unlike anything else. We need to read it. We need to read it. We need to find a place and a time and a means and just read it and let God speak to you. A few years ago, I wanted to read through the whole Bible, and so I got the Bible app on my phone, and I pressed play in Genesis, and every time I got in the car, my car would pick it up, and I would listen to the scripture. So it took about 7 months in the driving I was doing to listen to the whole Bible from start to finish. It's a fascinating experience to go through. But that worked for me at that time, that particular life. I used to then read the Bible every night in a red reclining chair, like an IKEA chair, one of those really comfy ones. I'd read the scriptures every night and just say, God, just speak to me through this. My mum reads the Bible at her kitchen table every morning. Dad is not a believer, but mum reads the Bible at the kitchen table every morning. Lyndall reads the Bible every night, my wife, every night on her phone just before she goes to bed. At the moment, I like to choose a different location and a different space and a different time every day to go and read the scriptures. And sometimes it's in my office, sometimes it's at the kitchen table, sometimes it's down the beach, sometimes it's a cafe, sometimes it's at the church. I don't have any structure about the place and the location. I just enjoy the fluidity of allowing the word of God to speak to me wherever I am. How you do it, where you do it, the version you read, where you start, the amount you read from, they are secondary issues to reading it. All that stuff, you'll work it out and you'll muck about with it and it'll change and adapt and it's meant to. But we all need to just pour into and commit ourselves, submit ourselves to God's word and what God wants to speak, because he's constantly speaking. And we miss out on so much of it when God wants to speak to us. So my encouragement today is to read it, to do what works for you this week, to read it and see what God would say into your spirits, but that he does that not just for you, but for those he loves who don't yet know his love for them. So let's pray. Lord, we just slip into a space of just quiet, reflective prayer. Speak to us now. We know you constantly speak, and sometimes our busyness excludes that. Speak to us now by your Spirit, Lord.